Shared parenting does make it easy. I'm your host, Chris Batchelor, and this is the Parent Time Podcast. Parent Time Podcast is presented by National Parents Organization, a national nonprofit who is working hard to bring shared parenting nationwide. Good morning, everybody. I'm Chris with National Parents Organization, and today I'm here with Daniel J. Pullman, PhD, LMFT. He's the Assistant Professor of Family Studies at the University of Maine, and he's here to talk about parallel parenting. Good morning, Daniel.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. So tell us a little bit about, you know, the work that you're doing up there in Maine, and you've got a lot of studies going on with parallel parenting. You know, what have you found out, and where really is your work headed?
Yeah, great. Thanks for asking. So, I'm at Maine. I run the Parenting Relationships Research Lab. We're doing right now, you know, I'd say more theoretical or thinking about parallel parenting than we are doing actual research. We're looking at certainly co-parenting and doing some of that work there. But the work around parallel parenting is really new, and it's innovative in the world, right? It's a concept that has historically been used to describe parents who just don't get along. And that's a default, oh, well, they can't actually co-parent, so we're going to let them to parallel parent. And really where our work comes in is thinking about parallel parenting is less of that default experience that parents go through and more of an intentional strategy for moms and dads that don't get along or couples that don't get along to be able to engage and raise kids together harmoniously and in a way that benefits everybody in the entire family, not just, you know, the children. They're important, but, you know, adults are important too.
Yeah, I think a lot of the courts have, you know, they really are big on wanting parents to work together and to co-parent. And, you know, sometimes that just doesn't happen. What are some cases where, you know, parents, you know, how do you recognize that you need to parallel parent versus, you know, doing a traditional co-parent?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, a lot of cases where the parents are adversarial with each other, right? That there's a lot of conflict. They just can't seem to get along. They can't seem to figure out how to make decisions together. They can't figure out ways to engage around the children that don't involve, you know, aggression or high levels of conflict or at worst violence, of course, right? And so, you know, thinking about situations where both parents are capable, they're neither is abusive or cruel to the children, and where they can basically function independently on their own, right? So you have one parent that can manage the kids, the other parent that can manage the kids. And when we do and think about parallel parenting, for those families, allowing both parents to do their own thing sometimes is a better path than trying to make it coordinated or force a round peg into a square hole kind of thing.
Yeah, so you know, I hear a lot about co-parenting and Pete, you know, I've friends and, you know, different advocates that have told me, you know, oh, well, this person just won't do this at their house, or we can't agree to do this the same, you know, do you have to really parallel parent on everything, or is it just aspects of things that you can parallel parent on, like bedtimes or, you know, structure in the home, that sort of thing?
Well, that's interesting. I think I would suggest that parallel parenting, if used as a strategy rather than just a default or a description of parenting, could be very intentional, right? And I think it would be contextually dependent on which family needs what, right? So in some families, things like bedtime, you know, dad's bedtime rules versus mom's bedtime rules don't necessarily need to align, right? You know, there can be variance and nuance. In some families, that doesn't work well, right? Especially if there's kids that are struggling with sleep issues or things like that. So it really does depend on pretty much what's going on in the family about when that can happen. In some of the most extreme cases where there's serious conflict and inability to work together, then, you know, maybe a more broad brush co-parenting or parallel parenting process where they really truly are functioning very independently 100% of the time, or close to it at least, you can't really do it 100%, would be more indicated or more beneficial for everyone.
You know, how do kids take parallel parenting? Is there, are there negative consequences psychologically to the kids? I mean, do they find it hard to do parallel parenting? What's the perspective from the kids' view?
Yeah, that's also interesting. Historically, so as I said, you know, if parallel parenting was described as this default strategy that parents kind of reverted to when they can't function, you know, I think we would find, if we ask these questions, that most kids would probably experience that as just another level of tension, right? It's just a silent tension where there's one parent doing one thing and the other parent doing the other thing. They're not happy about it. There's probably underlying or passive types of aggression that's happening. So, you know, the experience of parallel parenting is historically described probably isn't very good for kids. It's probably more of an anxiety ridden kind of thing. What's mom thinking, dad thinking, or I know information about either parent and they don't know about it. And so I think that classic way is not effective. If we think about parallel parenting as an intentional strategy where everybody's on board with it and saying, you know what, you're going to do your thing, I'm going to do my thing, and we're all okay with that, you know, then the answers could be, well, what happens at the other house stays at the other house, and that's okay. You know, they're doing their thing. We're going to focus on our life together. We're going to focus on our family together. And that's a different message than this kind of passive or passive aggressive style of parenting that I think can happen whenever we revert to that as a default strategy rather than an intentional one.
Yeah, I think, you know, it certainly is a lot of tension when, you know, somebody is forced to co-parent or, you know, co-parent and, you know, do something the way that the other house does it, and they get resentful, and maybe those come out as comments, and the kids kind of pick up on that sort of stuff. So I think, you know, it sounds to me like with parallel parenting, you really just make this intentional decision to say, hey, look, we're going to do it this way over here, and we're going to do it this way at the other house, and that's okay. And then the kids know that's okay. And I would assume that relieves a lot of anxiety from the kids' perspective.
You would think, right? I mean, that's kind of the theory behind that, is that that would be the case. And I think what's important really is thinking about where this kind of has lined up for me is thinking about divorce in general, right? That divorce for families is a really challenging process. I don't care who you are, right? It's hard, it's stressful, it's filled with all kinds of stuff, right? And that takes time. And in many cases, you know, it can even take years for parents to adapt to and adjust to that emotional experience. It's pretty intense. When we ask parents to jump right into this collaborative arrangement, well, like, holy cow, if they could do it collaboratively in the first place, they probably wouldn't get divorced, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's they're divorcing for a reason. And so we need to honor that in a lot of ways. And so what parallel parenting allows us to do is to honor that there's a stress, there's an anxiety, there's an emotional, you know, trauma to the family, and that allows them to kind of recover. And so in some ways, I think having both parents be able to take some space, lick their wounds, build their new family, the transition to a new family, giving them time to do that, parallel parenting allows them to. Parallel parenting is also doesn't need to be a permanent situation. It can be a situation that is a temporary or kind of in an in-between place until the parents can recover and cope and move to a better space where they can co-parent. Parallel parenting can be really effective. So we don't even really have to think of this as a permanent solution to a family problem. We could think of it as a temporary or a, you know, a bridge type of experience.
Yeah, I think that's a really great way to describe it. And I certainly have seen that in the past where, you know, you have two parents that just absolutely can't stand each other right after the divorce, you know, and they can't hardly agree on anything. And then a couple of years down the road, everything sort of settles down and they're able to work together again. And so I think it's, yeah, that's an important point that you can transition into parallel parenting and then transition out of it as the tension and the stress goes down, you know, it between the parents. I think that's an excellent way to look at it. Go ahead.
Oh, no. So, we all know that anger is born out of sadness or grief or loss or, you know, whatever negative kind of sad kind of experience. And so, you know, these hurts and these pains that result from divorce are very real, right? And for me, I don't know, I think for many people, they do result in some bitterness or anger or frustration. And so we need to embrace that grief process. And some people need some more space and time than others, right? And so this is a way to provide that and let the kids see that happening. Right. See that, okay, we're grieving, we're going to adjust because they're grieving too. And that's a bonding experience, I think. And so I think in many ways, when done properly, parallel parenting can actually increase family cohesion overall rather than decrease it. That's certainly testable, but that's something that I think would be true.
Well, that's a really interesting point. How do you, you know, for the folks out there that are watching this, you know, is there a sort of trigger or how do you know when you need to start parallel parenting? And then when you do start, you know, what's the intentional way to go about it? Do you message the other parent? Like, you know, tell me a little bit about how would you decide that you need to get into parallel parenting, and then how would you actually, you know, engage that with the other party?
Yeah, so I think I laugh because my first reaction was when you realize you're spending too much money on attorney fees, right?
Yeah.
Like when you're banking everything you have into your legal channels, that's probably a good sign. Maybe you ought to think about a different way of doing things. Because usually that's because we're trying to convince the other party to do it our way, or we're trying to fight against them, or trying to push, and say, hey, listen, you need to do it my way, or I want it this way, and you're not cooperating.
Yeah.
So when you're feeling that pressure that of in yourself, like I got to make this other person do what I want them to do, maybe reverting to a transition space of saying, you know what? Whatever, you do it your way, I'm gonna do it my way. Now that requires a sense of letting go. That requires a sense of giving the other person kind of authority and power over the kids in those times, which can be anxiety producing, especially when you don't trust the other person.
Right.
But that also may be a place for you to get where it's like, okay, I gotta let some of this go. I gotta move on and take care of me, right? I gotta cope with myself and my stuff. And if you're putting too much of your energy and investment into that I think is a good sign for one to notice.
What advice do you have? And I know you're not a lawyer, but how do you approach this from a legal perspective? Because if you have court orders that say you're supposed to co-parent, right? Do you really need to wait until the court papers say that you can parallel parent, or are there things that you can do, without harming the other party that's in the realm of parallel parenting?
Yeah, you know what? And so I'm going to turn this switch on you here because, I think that's the classic thinking is like, oh, what do we do in the legal system? How do we make that happen? What are we doing? Because courts are notoriously difficult. There's a lot of stress in there.
Yeah.
They're not timely and they never go the way we want them to go, right?
Sure.
So what I would suggest is actually not to follow the legal channels. Seek a therapist, actually. Seek a clinician that knows how to work with co-parenting family dynamics. A family therapist is a perfect candidate to do that sees those cases and get into some clinical work. Really dive into your own strategies, your processes, and then how the two of you can work it together. So and I think that saves quite a bit of money and resources, right? To go to somebody that's an expert to help you work through it. And I mean that in a very serious way. Not that mediation and negotiation aren't helpful and lawyers can't be really valuable. But I think clinicians can appreciate that emotional stress that we have and help walk us through a path to getting there, which I just think would be a more productive journey from a lot of angles, when possible, for sure. So that's what I would suggest is away from the legal channels, move into a clinical space.
Explain to the audience a little bit, and I'm curious to learn too. You're a licensed marriage and family therapist. When you go through that training, how much of this do they really talk about with, power dynamics and, I mean, 'cause divorce is mostly about power and control, right? You're going to control the kids, the custody, the money, all that kind of stuff, right? So when you really break it down, it's just power and control. So how much of that, is come, what do they talk about in your training with that? And how much of your thoughts on this are developed sort of after your training and in your practical experience?
Yeah. If you think about the training to be a therapist is kind of this like catch-all for us to, especially in marriage and family therapy training or couple and family therapy training, it's really about working with systems, right? Working with networks of people that care about each other, that have a lot of feelings. Couples work is really a big part of that. And you can't really touch couples work. And none of the models that really look at couples work, avoid power and control, some more than others, but certainly those are significant factors. Certain models in therapy training do lend themselves to co-parenting work better than others. Like family systems has historically been connected to co-parenting work. Some of the roots of those founders have done that. You're really trained across multiple models that allow for that. But like anything, especially in clinical work, your expertise does become born out of your experience in the field, right? So as you find an area that you're really interested in and you follow through with that and seek out additional training, read additional research, connect with people and others around you that have a community, then that practice becomes more ingrained into who you are. So there are special you do specialize over time, because you get experience and knowledge, but your foundation allows you to start doing it for sure.
What's the consensus among, practicing clinicians on this? Is there a split in the community, or is there a good consensus around that this is a good technique, to resolve conflict or reduce conflict?
The idea of parallel parenting?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. There's not a consensus, but there's also not the conversation hasn't been happening, right? This is fairly new to the discussion. And when I talked to colleagues, and you know, a couple colleagues of mine and I wrote about this and presented it in a conference, and you know, it really got a lot of ears up and thinking about it, because there's not a standard of practice for parallel parenting. There's not a group of people that are saying we need to do this. This is fairly new, right? There's been bits and pieces of it talked about the country, but there's no program that teaches parallel parenting strategies. There's no people that are coming out. I mean, I'm probably one of the earliest people that are really speaking to this as I am, but you know, I think it's a conversation that people, as they hear, start to really get into. And I have lots of colleagues that when they were first introduced to the idea, the nature of their, you know, response was, no, we can't do that, because it goes to that classic, well, this is the default thing that happens when people can't get along. As you talk about it differently as a transition point or as a strategy or as a technique, people start to think differently about it. So I think this is changing the narrative, but we're not there yet to be able to say that this is, you know, really gained enough traction to be seen everywhere. You know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of what works for families, at least from what I've seen, is listening to all the stakeholders, right? So that includes the parents and the kids. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I often tell people, like, you know, your kids will be pretty honest with you. And honestly, sometimes they got some pretty good ideas, you know, so don't discount everything that they want just because they're a kid, you know. And I think with this, you can really transition to, you know, where you're parallel parenting to reduce conflict as much as possible. And then maybe you take some of the kids' feedback and you sort of integrate it. And I think the kids being the common factor between both sets of families, you'll start to meld into some co-parenting stuff. I don't know. Does that make sense? Or, I mean, it just seems like I've seen that in the past.
So, you know, I recognize very fully that NPO's real big mission is always about the best interest of the child. And that is absolutely true, right? Sure. We need to focus on kids. Kids are important. Their interests are important.
Yeah.
But I also think that we miss out on the best interest of the family, which kind of leads to that, right? Mm-hmm. If you think about divorce, no matter what, you're still a system. You're still connected, right? I don't actually think marriage is permanent, but child rearing is,
yeah.
Right? You're together for the life of the child. Nothing breaks that bond, right? You may break the marriage bond, but that bond never breaks. So, you know, we still need to be thinking about this as a family system. And so when we look at the best interests of the family, we do include adults' well-being in that, right? Mom and dad, or mom and mom, whoever, still has a part in the process. And so when we listen to kids and listen to adults and kind of come together as a group, success can happen for everyone, not just the kids, right? I think sometimes we gear towards focusing on, you know, what's in the best interest of the children, but miss out the bigger picture. And so that's what I'd like to see is a much better focus on, let's look at this family system and how we can really value them as a group rather than one piece of it. Because when we do that, then kids do benefit. Kids benefit from healthy families. Build a healthy family, kids are going to get the benefit, right? And so That would be my kind of angle to that.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting take on it, is what's the best for everybody. Because in family court, we often hear about this, well, you know, best interest of the kids. And then everybody argues about, well, really, what's the best interest of the kids, you know? And I think a lot of courts just leave behind the best interest of mom and dad, right? And I think that itself causes a lot of conflict.
It's almost like they don't care, right? And I think, you know, because of this best interest of the kid, it actually becomes quite subjective, because when you take two people that don't agree, the best interest of the kid is defined incredibly different, right?
Yeah.
One parent says, this is best interest. The other parent says, this is best interest. But if you think, what's the best interest of everyone, that can change the dialogue a little bit, right? That can become a more collaborative kind of thing. Because as much as I might not want what's in the best interest for my ex, for my child's benefit, my ex being okay is in my child's benefit, right? And
yeah.
So there's a lot of angles that we can play with this, which we just don't do. And so I think thinking about the best interest of the family is really where I think is relevant, and more of a focus that's going to help move a family from non-divorced, high conflict stress, to divorced, separated, existing in two different spaces in a very healthy way, right? And I think we can get there, but we need to shift the paradigm.
So if somebody wanted to learn about parallel parenting, are there resources out there? I mean, you know, besides watching the awesome videos that we put out, right? You know, where can people really learn about parallel parenting?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few places, you know, there's not much written about it. There's some scholars that do talk about it in the literature, but like I said, it's mostly what you're going to find is this is what happens when parents don't get along. I'm not aware of anybody that's really talking about it in a deep way about it being a technique or strategy. You know, we're starting that conversation. You know, I don't have anything published at the moment that gets to that, but that is kind of an area that we're looking towards. Hopefully I'll be writing something for NPO that kind of addresses some of that. But because this is new and thinking about parallel parenting as intervention, no, there's not a whole lot out there at the moment.
Yeah, I think one of the difficult things if somebody's going through a legal case, right, is how do you educate the lawyer who can then educate the judge and the court on this, right? Because if the courts just keep ordering co-parenting and, you know, they're trying to fit this, you know, square peg in a round hole kind of thing, I think it can be really frustrating for somebody.
So that's, you know, that's an area I don't have expertise, but I do know that there is a very small legal precedent for parallel parenting in some states around the country. I'm not going to be doing it justice by telling you what states, but I know that there have been court decisions that have examined this. So that would be something to speak to an attorney about, to look at the legal precedent for parallel parenting in your state and in others that might actually help with getting to that place. You know, and I think that, you know, the people that know that work better than me should be the one speaking to that. But there is legal precedent. I can't say that for sure.
Well, yeah, that's good news, because certainly you never want to be the first of anything in a legal case, right? Because that is expensive and a very long process. Sure. With parallel parenting, you know, is there anything that you would recommend people stay away from? You know, in particular, as like you said, you know, keeping the family system happy and doing really what's best for everybody.
I'm not sure if I'd say there's anything to stay away from, but I do think that it's worth being cautious and thoughtful about, right? You know, because this is kind of the Wild West in a sense, you know, if somebody claims expertise in this area, or if somebody's going to tell you they know what they're doing, you probably should question that a little bit. You know, I think there's lots of great ideas out there. I think if this is an exploratory type of a situation, if you realize, you know, that this isn't something that's been defined or structured in any which way, I think it can be a useful paradigm for now, right? Maybe at some point, it will be a little bit more clear and crystallized. But at this point, I think you should be cautious of people that are absolutist. I think, you know, being curious about what that might look for in your family and not thinking that you have to do it like everybody else or anything like that would be helpful. You know, certainly there's always cautions around violence, you know, and arguably though, parallel parenting could be a much better strategy where there's a history of violence, especially whenever there's none with the child involved. So if it's between the parents and there's violent interactions, that might be good. But, you know, we always want to be cautious about what we suggest for folks like that. But I do think there's some caution, but we're still kind of in uncertain space. So, you know, this is exploratory.
Well, it'll certainly be interesting as, you know, as the research on this develops and more is known about it. I think there's a lot to come out, and it's really, it looks to me like it's going to be a really good tool for families to use as a mechanism to reduce conflict. And we all know that when you reduce conflict in, you know, post-divorce situations, that really is in the best interest of first the kids and then also the parents. Right. So I think that, you know, this is a promising thing coming out, and we should definitely keep an eye on it. Is there anything we didn't catch or talk about that you wanted to talk about?
I think one of the other important things to really think about is the relationships, especially between parents and children, right? And I think that's one of the spaces where parallel parenting, you know, can be really positive, because it can give both parents the space and opportunity to really engage with their children without interference and without the other around, and build a relationship on its own merits. And so I think for me, parallel parenting is a relationship strategy for parents to be able to connect to their kids without the other and make it work. Now, of course, if you're a parent that doesn't want the other parent to have a relationship, you might be opposed to parallel parenting, which I think does happen in some cases. But if you really care about your kids and want your kids to have relationships with both parents, parallel parenting can be the way to do that, where that can be a beneficial space for parents and kids. So relationship enhancement's another place where that can be beneficial.
So where can people find you? Is there a way they can contact you if they have questions, or, you know, do you have any information out there online, social media, that sort of thing?
My parenting lab website isn't completely the most accurate, but we're working on that. Certainly sending me an email at Daniel, Daniel dot Pullman, Puhlman at maine.edu is a great place to do that. That's Daniel Pullman, Daniel dot Pullman at maine.edu. And I'm always willing to communicate, chat with, help out and support the best I can, would be the best way to get a hold of me. And then, as more and more resources come available, I'll certainly be able to point that out and direct you in those spaces.
Well, Daniel, thanks so much for coming on. We really appreciate you having you, and we look forward to having you on again when you have some more stuff to talk about.
Great. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure being here and chatting with you.
Now, that was recorded on video, so if you want to go ahead and watch the video, you can find the link in the show notes. It's on YouTube. And if you have any questions, you can contact National Parents Organization at sharedparenting.org. Don't forget to like National Parents Organization on social media. Just go ahead and do a Facebook search for National Parents Organization and smash the like button. You're also going to find several Facebook pages for different state chapters, so go ahead and like those pages as well. And don't forget, you can also follow National Parents Organization on Twitter or LinkedIn. The links to those social media sites are on the sharedparenting.org website. If you're passionate about shared parenting, the best thing you can do is get involved. And the best way to do that is by contacting your state chapter. If you head over to the sharedparenting.org website, you can find the links to your state chapter and then contact them directly to take action and volunteer. We could also use your help with donations. National Parents Organization is a nationally recognized nonprofit registered in Massachusetts. To donate, visit sharedparenting.org and click the Take Action and then Donate. We'd love to hear what you think about the show. Tell us what you think on social media or by going to the sharedparenting.org website and sending us a message. Fill out that contact form and let us know what you think. We'd love to hear about what you think about the show or what you want to hear on the show, that sorts of thing. So go ahead and send us a message. Until the next episode, I'm your host, Chris Batchelor. Thanks for listening, and together we can help bring shared parenting nationwide.